Welcome to Ag Matters, covering positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit of the Alaska Farmland Trust.
Well, good morning and welcome to another edition of Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit, and joining me this morning via the telephone is my guest, Rachel Christie. So good morning, Rachel, and thanks for being here.
Good morning, Amy. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. And Rachel, I always like to challenge my guests by starting the show with a little bit of background information about them. So tell us about your connection to Alaska. How did you get here and your involvement in agriculture and how that started?
Oh, that's always a fun one. It's fun to hear people's stories about how they arrived.
Yeah.
I came up after college. My husband, my brand new newlywed status husband, was flying for Northern Air Cargo at the time. And so we've been up here since the early 90s, and I've been just a lifelong gardener. And about 6 years ago, we had some land out in the valley that I decided I wanted to try to grow a crop of peonies.
Yeah. And so where did you come from, Rachel?
Well, I grew up in Dallas, Texas.
Okay.
And I went to school at University of Kansas. So I was
okay.
Kind of Midwestern, but I grew up, I say, in the mall at Dallas.
Where there was air conditioning?
Yes. Yeah. And I learned how to ice skate there, too.
Oh, very good. Very good. And so no real solid ties or connection to agriculture, but you always just love to garden.
That's right. I did have a dream as a young girl to be a forest ranger, but it just didn't seem practical in Dallas.
Right, I can see that. All right, so 6 years ago, you jumped into this peony world, and how did that start? Like, what inspired you to put flowers in the ground?
Well, I had been reading of some articles, I think in the Anchorage Daily News, about some people that were farming down in Homer, and I happened to notice in the paper that they were having a Alaska Peony Growers Conference in Anchorage. And
yeah.
I thought, oh, well, I want to go to that. And I didn't really connect the two, the Growers Association with the farmers. I just thought it would have been a conference for gardeners. And so I signed up for that, and I went, and it was mostly commercial growers.
Right.
And so I just, my brain started churning at that conference. And then a little bit later, I remembered that we had bought some land in the valley, probably 7-10 years earlier, that we weren't really developing. And my mind kept churning. And then I went ahead and bit off a big chunk of peony root, basically. Started planting.
Yeah. And of course, that's probably where we met, because back in the day when I worked at Division of Ag, I was heavily involved with the peony project. And and so it's been super fun to watch many different growers develop their farms and start their businesses. And so tell us about your farm, Alaska Blooms, right?
Wait, yes. Well, it's a small little farm, kind of I like to call it a little boutique farm. We have probably 3/4 acre. I had grand plans to do a full acre, but I kind of cried uncle at 3,500 plants. So we have 3,500 plants.
Wow.
And probably six varieties. I say six solid varieties, but then I've got maybe two or three other little ones where I maybe just have 30 of a certain type. But for the most part, I supply grocery stores, florists, and then the occasional bride I think we harvested 10,000 last year.
Wow.
10,000 stems.
10,000 flowers.
Mm-hmm.
So you've been, you put the peony crowns in the ground how long ago?
Well, the first, probably 2000, I put them in the ground in the fall of 2011.
Okay.
And they did great the first year. Then the winter of 2013, we had quite a bit of loss. It was a hard winter of lots and lots of rain and then hard freezes.
Right.
And I lost probably half my crop
for that year.
Then I started planting 500 a year until I got up to this current amount. And
okay.
I've been much more, fortunate with the rain in the fall, but also diligent about mulching with straw and other things.
Right. Because for those that don't know, these peony crowns, the roots, they're not like dahlias or other tubers where you pull the crown out every winter, right? These stay in the ground and you want them to get cold and kind of go to sleep, right?
Right. They actually do need a certain amount of cold in order to bloom the next day. That's or not the next day, the next season.
Right.
But that's why they don't. You don't see them usually south of, say, Oklahoma is probably the farthest south, because they do need cold.
Okay. And so you said 3,500 plants, which just, that's an incredible amount of work is all I see when I hear that.
Yes, I know. Yeah. I'm like, why did I plant that many?
Yeah. And you mentioned grocery stores and florists. So is that in Alaska or are you exporting your stems?
Probably 80% of my stems stay in state.
Okay.
And I do send out, but I've really focused mostly on the Anchorage and Mat-Su markets.
Okay. So what grocery stores could we potentially see your flowers in next year? If I wanted to make sure I was getting my hands on Alaska Blooms peonies, where would I look?
Car Safeway. Okay. I've been selling to Car Safeway for 3 years.
Okay.
And they've done a great job of highlighting their Alaska grown. I think they really tried to work with all ag.
Yeah.
In the last 2 years especially, but they really like to have Alaska grown in their floral department.
Yeah. And do they put an Alaska-grown sticker or an Alaska Blooms sticker or anything on the cellophane? Like, could we actually know if they were yours?
Yes, they have. I gave them a lot of swag from Division of Ag for Alaska-grown,
okay.
And they have them kind of labeled with a little placard that I have from Alaska Blooms.
Okay, I love it. I can't wait to get my hands on some next summer.
Good.
And speaking of which, when will they be available? When do you start harvesting?
Well, typically I start harvesting at the very end of June. That'd be early,
okay.
July 2nd or 3rd. But this year, it was so cold this past season that we didn't really start cutting until about the 8th of July.
Oh, wow.
Really, you know, a week is late. And I had to miss a wedding, I think it was the 8th of July, because
oh,
I wasn't ready to cut. So this year, I'm not taking wedding reservations until mid-July, just to be safe, because
yeah.
That's so hard. That's a hard call to make.
Oh, I bet. I can't imagine.
Yeah.
Oh, so you did mention that previously, that you work with a couple of brides. And has that all been in Alaska as well?
I've had a couple out of state, just from word of mouth, kind of friend of a friend needs some peonies in first week of August, and they can't find them anywhere. So I sent some to Dallas last year and some to Denver. But usually it's up here, it's the do-it-yourself bride.
Yeah,
that
okay.
wants to just do her own flowers, and peonies are such a great flower to do that with, because you can put two or three in a mason jar on a table and it looks beautiful.
Absolutely. So talk to us a little bit about that. I had Mike Williams from Eagle Song Peonies on
yes.
the show probably a year ago. I think it was this time last year, and he talked a fair amount about the crowns and the roots and taking care of your peonies and that kind of thing. But tell us why this peony production in Alaska has become so popular, and talk a little bit about that seasonality.
Well, it's unique in that for the rest of the country, most peonies are coming on blooming and blooming out by the first week of June. And we are at a latitude that's higher than any place else where they're growing. And so our peonies are coming on in July and probably not blooming out. We're running out of stock about mid to late August. Now, there's some farms in Homer that have elevation,
mm-hmm.
and they're still cutting into September. So
wow.
they hold the last part of the market. You know, the world, different places in the world have different parts of the market. So like Christmas peonies, the reds that you see sometimes in arrangements, those are typically coming from New Zealand.
Right.
I think in February is when we start to get them from Israel,
okay.
Chile, and then the lower 48, very end of April, May, June, and then usually by mid-June, they're bloomed out in Michigan and Vermont and some of those northern climates, and then we're coming on.
Yeah. Peonies were so well known as kind of a Memorial Day flower.
Yes,
when I
exactly.
was, yeah, I can remember that when I lived in Kansas in particular.
Mm-hmm.
This
mm-hmm.
big pink peonies for Memorial Day, right?
Right, or Decoration
yeah.
Day.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, exactly. That leads right into my next question about colors. There's so many different colors of peony. What colors are you growing? What varieties do you have on your farm?
Well, I love colors. After you've endured the long white winter.
Or gray
Alaska,
in this case,
the
right?
The last thing, my rule was I would never plant a white flower. That was wasteful.
Oh, really? Okay.
But but I have quite a bit of white because it is a wedding flower, yeah. And so lots of brides want white. So I have a couple different shades of whites and creams, and then I have a real standard, which is a Sarah Bernhardt pink. Mm-hmm. It's kind of the pink that you always see in the grocery store and so forth.
Yeah.
The blushes, it's a really faint pink. It's called a Mother's Choice. There's lots of varieties of blushes, but those are very popular with the brides as well. And then the vibrant colors, depending on a bride's colors for her wedding, are, you know, the fuchsia, the hot pink, their reds, the burgundy kind of red, red charm, and corals. Corals are very popular as well.
Yeah. Wow. So I want to interrupt you for just a second, Rachel, to remind folks that this is Ag Matters Radio. I'm the host, Amy Pettit, and joining me this morning is Rachel Christie of Alaska Blooms Peony Farm. So thanks again for being here. And let's talk about, you mentioned that your first flowers, typically you're looking for them in June, right? Or you said July.
The very, very end of June, but typically, yeah, first or second of July.
Yeah. So this winter has been odd, a little maybe mild, some would say, but then more cold and not so much snow. So what is this weather going to do to your peony production this spring? What do you think? What's your guess?
Well, yeah, I don't know. I hope the way my field is situated, I butt up against a wooded lot. And so I do have on one side of the field pretty good snow cover, even when it warms up, because it's shaded by the trees in the wintertime.
Yeah.
So the other side that doesn't have that kind of wind and tree protection, I usually either put straw or leaves down to mulch around those plants. If you have at least 6 inches of snow, then soil temperature stays constant at about 31 degrees.
Okay.
If you lose that, then air temperature starts to bring that soil temperature down.
Yeah.
Even, you know, if you have that snow, even if it's 10 below outside, the soil is still going to be about 31.
Okay.
So it is imperative in that regard that you do some kind of mulch or protection.
Yeah, because there's not 6 inches of snow here in Greater Palmer
area.
Right, yeah.
Right. And I've had 4 feet of snow out on that field.
Right.
There's no way to know. At the end of the season, though, when it's time to cut down the plants and put that mulch out there, I kind of do, I'm tired, and I kind of do want to gamble and say, oh, it'll snow 2 feet this year. But my husband talks me into, well, just in case,
yeah,
I'll put some leaves down. I'm like, oh, okay, you know, about now I'm like, oh, I'm so glad I did that.
Right. And I can remember being back at a peony growers conference and a lot of discussion about mulch and cover and how to protect those plants through the winter. And one of the concerns about adding mulch, such as leaves and straw and that those things, was that you were perhaps inviting little critters like mice and voles, et cetera, to make their home in that mulch pile. So have you had any trouble with that?
I haven't.
Knock on wood, right? Sorry.
I see one occasionally here and there, but I think if you have landscape fabric down, it's even more inviting to those critters, but I don't. And
okay.
I haven't had too much of a problem, or I haven't noticed that they've been attacking.
Yeah.
So moose seem to be more of a problem. You know, moose aren't attracted to them. They don't want to eat them, but they'll go traipse around the field and mess up my drip line irrigation and just sink a hoof down in the soggy part and sink a root.
Yeah.
9 inches below the soil surface or something like that. So they're kind of a pain.
Yeah, but not where you want them. Rachel, when you got started growing peonies, there was a lot to learn, obviously, this, especially since you didn't come from an ag background. It's not like you were growing potatoes before this or anything. So
how
did you learn? How did you get to where you are today? Did you make trips outside, or what was your strategy for figuring out how to do this?
Well, the Alaska Peony Conference, Alaska Peony Growers Association, had a lot of great information from the University of Alaska Fairbanks. They did the first, I think, test garden of peonies up in Fairbanks.
Yeah.
And they had traveled to New Zealand to research and learn from the growers there, and they shared all that information with new growers. And so that was really helpful. I did a lot of reading on my own. I found a study done by the Kansas State University,
mm-hmm.
and they had I think it was back in 95, they did a 5-year study on commercial growing, you know, growing peonies for commercial production.
Yeah.
And that was very helpful. It's a little different because it's the Midwest and it's not Alaska, so their plant spacing and cutting and so forth was a little different, but I learned a lot about peonies in that study.
Yeah.
And I think it's probably still available on the web. I just downloaded that, and I read.
Yeah. And did you visit other farms?
I did. I went, part of the benefit of going to a conference with the Alaska peony growers is that typically in the summer, the summer conferences, they would also host farm tours. So I think the first one I went to was in July or August. I think it was August of 2011. It was before I had done my first planting out, and it was down in Homer.
Okay.
And part of the conference, we got to visit a couple farms down there, and it was very helpful because everybody's planted them or everybody's doing something a little different, and you kind of get to learn best practices, and of course, best practices are different depending on your particular plot of land.
Absolutely, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Did you do soil testing and a lot of preparation of your property before you put plants in the ground?
Yes, absolutely. That was very, very helpful, and I've worked with NRCS to do soil testing and to do recommendations on fertilization. As I prepped my whole field, I did not plant the whole field out at one time. It took several years. So on the years where part of the field was waiting for a planting, it might happen 2 years later, I did cover crops just to increase organic matter and keep the weeds at bay.
Yeah.
So that was helpful. I did buckwheat, a lot of buckwheat. And right now when I have an area that's just not going to be planted out, I do a winter rye and just keep it mowed and just to try to keep my weed seed bag down.
Yeah, very good. And those 3,500 plants that you have in the ground, where did the rootstock come from? What was your source for that?
Yeah, lots of different places.
Okay.
My very first amount that came in was from Third Branch in Vermont, and it was very, very helpful. Ed Pickness, he's passed on now, but he was a wealth of information in helping me choose the varieties that I wanted.
Yeah.
And then my next one was from a farm, I can't remember the name, but it was down in Washington State. And then the third one I started ordering from Oregon Perennials,
right.
I think was their name.
Meerstress.
And they seem to have the best handle on ways to ship it that was economical, and most of the growers they would barge all the growers' orders up at the same time, so it was a lower shipping cost for us. And,
yeah.
And so yeah, all over really.
Yeah. Any recommendations for those that might be interested in seeking out some rootstock? Where would you send them?
I think I would send them to Oregon Perennials. They have the best rates, I think.
Yeah.
It just depends. It depends on what you want to order, too. You know, sometimes it's difficult. I think it's really difficult now to get Duchess Dana Moore. It's a very popular wedding flower, and everybody wants it.
Oh, okay.
So sometimes it's just who has it, who has it available.
Yeah.
And that sort of thing will sell out fast.
Absolutely. And, Pete and Andre Weirstra with Oregon Perennial, I've been to their farm a couple of different times there in Oregon, and they come to Alaska pretty regularly. They're usually guests at the annual Peony Growers Conference, right?
Yeah.
Do you know
if
they're coming up this year?
I don't know. I haven't seen a agenda yet, so I'm not sure if they are or not.
Okay.
Another organization that I'm kind of excited about that I helped start up was the Alaska Peony Society. So you might have heard of the American Peony Society.
Definitely, yeah.
And that will have different chapters around the state. And so a group of gardeners in the Mat-Su started up a Alaska chapter of the Peony Society. And that's geared more towards the home gardener.
Okay.
And but they are bringing up a speaker this March, I believe it is. And you can look on there. Just look them up, Alaska Peony Society, and they've got a speaker coming, I think, from the Midwest. Can't remember who it is.
Oh, very good.
I'm excited. I am signed up for that as well.
Yeah, great. So, yeah, I didn't specifically mention it, but the Peony Growers Conference is actually happening this coming Friday and Saturday in Anchorage, if folks are interested. I'm not sure if you can still register or if they're over capacity, but I think it's Alaska Peony Conference for information on that one. And then, yeah, that's exciting. A chapter of the American Peony Society here in Alaska. Who would have thought?
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
Great.
I mean, let's see. I always timeline this by by Lila, or I guess it was Abby, my first daughter. I was pregnant with Abby when we wrote the grant at the Division of Agriculture to launch the Peony Growers Association. And so Abby turns 12 in March, and so that organization is about 12 years old now. So that's kind of crazy to think about it in those terms. Yeah. If you just tuned in, another reminder that this is Ag Matters Radio, and I'm the host, Amy Pettit. Joining me this morning is Rachel Christie of Alaska Blooms Peony Farm. So before I forget, because we're jumping into our third kind of segment, third and last segment of the show, but Rachel, how can people find more information out about your farm in particular? Do you have a website or social media? Where can we go look at pretty pictures of your peony?
I do. I have a website. It's alaskablooms.com.
Okay.
But I also have a Facebook and Instagram accounts. And the Facebook page is simply Alaska Blooms Peony Farm.
Okay.
And then the Instagram is AK Blooms Peony Farm.
Okay. Very good. Because it's this time of year when people are really in need of those pictures of pretty
pictures.
Flowers,
I know.
Right?
Everybody wants them.
Yeah. And in terms of product availability for this upcoming summer, are you taking orders now and pre-selling flowers?
I am. I just started this weekend as they had a big wedding conference here in Anchorage, wedding show.
Yeah.
And so, yep, I'm up for orders.
Okay. Very good. You mentioned that was funny when you said when you first started picking colors that you didn't want any whites. And that kind of made me chuckle because when I was at the division and, you know, trying to provide guidance and information to folks who were interested in getting into the peony world, I said, you know, I really don't know. I don't grow them myself. I don't know what to tell you. But if I were a betting person, I would put white. I would plant whites because you never know what the trends for colors are going to be with brides. But, you know, white kind of goes with everything, right?
Yes, right. Yeah, I know. I have some. My very favorite one is called Kansas, and it is a deep fuchsia, and I just love it. It's not as popular with the brides, but it is, it's my favorite. Yeah. I'll always have that in the field.
So. Okay, that was going to be one of my questions about your favorite flower. So it's the Kansas, huh?
Well, you know, everything has a different... The Kansas visually is my favorite. It doesn't have a fragrance, which can be good for some people that have allergies and so forth.
Yeah.
I think fragrance-wise, my favorite is probably a tie between the Duchess de Namur, which is a cream white, and the Dr. Alexander Fleming, which is a purpley pink, mostly pink.
Okay.
But those are very fragrant and incredible.
Yeah. So, timeline. I can't even really remember when this was. Sometime in the last 10 years, though, there was a lot of talk about these hybrid peonies that you could get that were yellow. Has that expanded? Are people really growing those yellow flowers now? Are those more available?
I think some are growing them in their home gardens.
Okay.
And I think why it works better in a home garden than it does perhaps out in a field is that you're going to need to really make sure that is well mulched because it's not going to handle the winter as well as a herbaceous. So, you're going to have to add a lot of straw on that to make sure it's well insulated for the winter.
Yeah, okay. And I've just been removed from the peony group for a while now, so are there any other kind of exciting developments in that world or trends that are happening or folks are looking more to a certain type of flower or anything like that?
I think people are always looking for companion flowers. They're starting to look for that, what they can grow along with the peonies, which is good to think about when they're starting their farm. It's nice to have some growing experience while you're waiting for 3 years to cut your first peony.
Right.
You want to maybe grow some snapdragons or something so you're feeling productive and have blooms to enjoy.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So I think I've heard a lot of people talking about companion flowers.
Yeah, that makes good sense. And other items that are hardy for shipping outside too, right? Because not everything wants to be cut before it opens and be packed in a box, et cetera.
Yeah, that's difficult. I love to plant some dahlias just for myself, but those don't ship.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. So, Rachel, remind me again what year you got started. How many years into this are you?
2011. So 2011. This will be my seventh summer coming up.
Okay. So pull out your crystal ball for a minute and talk to me about the future of Alaska Blooms Peony Farm. What's your goal for the next 5 years? And then where do you see it going beyond that?
Well, I really would like to continue to focus on the Anchorage market. I'd, I'd love, when I see all these beautiful pictures on Instagram from the local bride, local florist, I'd love to see more than just one peony in their bouquet.
Yeah.
I think, you know, it is unique to Alaska, and peonies ought to be a part of every wedding in July and August. I don't know how long my back will let me do this, but I do think about that.
Yeah.
But it's funny. I have three boys that have grown up, you know, out there working with me. And while they were in their, you know, tweens, 10 years old and so forth, it was torture. I was torturing them, according to them.
Sure.
But now that they're older, they get a lot of play telling people that they worked on a farm. They grew up on a farm, and they're peony farmers. So I don't know that they'd ever let me get out of peony farming. I could see one maybe taking over. And
oh, good.
It's a great summer business.
Yeah. Well, that's good to hear that they're interested in, and, you know, maybe it will continue in the Christie name, right? So
yeah,
you said you have 3/4 of an acre in production. Do you have additional land that you could expand if that was part of your plan?
About another 1/2 acre. It's
okay.
A very small lot that I'm on.
Okay.
Yeah, about another half.
Yeah, very good. Well, what else can you tell us about Alaska Blooms, or what else were you thinking that you wanted to share with us on the show this morning? What have I not asked you about?
Well, I guess I told you who I sell to. One thing new that I'm going to try this year, I'm trying to figure out the logistics of it, is a CSA.
Okay.
So we're going to work on a peony subscription. I haven't figured it all out yet, but I did a little test market and people were very interested in it.
Yeah.
So we'll
weekly get your box of vegetables through the local farmers market CSA, and then maybe get your vase of flowers.
Exactly.
I love it. Have you talked at all with Kyla Byers, who has Arctic Harvest deliveries?
I actually have an email out to her.
Oh, yes. Perfect. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I know she's always looking for other items to include in her deliveries to restaurants and consumers.
She gets a wide variety too. Like, you can get oysters at some point of the year.
I know.
That's pretty neat.
Well, I tell you what, if I could get oysters and peony and, you know, some local hamburger all in one delivery, how cool would that be?
That would be one-stop shopping.
Yeah.
For sure.
When I mentioned restaurants, you have had your flowers in a couple of restaurants, haven't you? I think I've seen them.
Yes, just the ones that I frequent in Anchorage.
Yeah.
So I've had them over at Middleway and Hearth, which is in Midtown. And I live really close in the wintertime to the Rustic Goat, so they always get my flowers because I like to show off to all my neighbors.
Yeah. Well, it's certainly a nice addition. You know, particularly the Division of Agriculture has worked so hard to increase the use of local food at restaurants. So it's just a natural fit that the next thing is that if they have flowers on the table, they ought to be local flowers too, right?
Yes, yes. Usually they're really up for collaborating. And some of that might look like a CSA drop-off point or something like that.
Yeah.
So I think all local businesses want to participate and collaborate and be helpful to other local businesses.
Absolutely. That's good to hear. Mm-hmm. We're all in this together, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Well, Rachel, it's been such a pleasure to have you on the show this morning chatting about flowers. I can't wait to dive into your Instagram account and just, you know, be reminded of what summer looks like because it's so ugly out there right now.
It is pretty bad. It is.
So you, again, Alaska Blooms Peony Farm, and you said AK Blooms on Instagram?
AK Blooms Peony Farm.
Okay. Very good. What was the other one?
I was going to say the Facebook is spelled out Alaska Blooms Peony Farm.
Okay, very good. Well, I'll be sure to link to all of those when we get the recording of today's show up on the website. And thank you again for joining me on Ag Matters.
Thank you, Amy. I really enjoyed it.
All right. Have a great day.
You too.
You've been listening to Ag Matters, covering positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit of the Alaska Farmland Trust. Ag Matters is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. For more information about this program, email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.